Hey everyone, welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. This is Yvette Hampton, your host, and I am really glad to have you back with us today. I hope you're having a great day, whatever it is that you're doing today. I have a great guest on today that I'm really excited to introduce you to. His name is Scott Hardin, and he is the author of Science Shepherd. They are a science homeschool Christian curriculum, and so we're going to hear from him today and can hear his story about why he wrote this curriculum, and we're going to talk about science today. So I think you are going to be greatly encouraged. So Scott, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. I'm really, really glad to be here.
Yeah, I would love for you to tell us a little bit about you and your family.
Sure, sure. My wife and I have been married for about 31, coming up to 32 years. We have six kids and had them very, very young. Really in our early 20s, started with kids. And so we had six, and at first did not homeschool them immediately. So that was a little bit of growing, a little bit of growing time for us. So we had our first four kids are all biologic kids, and then didn't have any more kids. And we wanted some more. So we went for a while, and then probably about, I don't know, 7 or 8, 9 years after my youngest daughter was born, we had a fateful day at a Stephen Curtis Chapman concert after he had gotten back from adopting his oldest daughter, Shoei. And it just, you know, it happens, and you're not looking for it. And so about 10 months after that, we were in China and bringing home our two girls. So it was, so they were our last two.
Wow, that's awesome. Are your two adopted girls, are they biological sisters?
They are, yeah, they're twins.
Oh, they're twins. Oh, how yes. Fun. And they're how old? Yeah.
They just turned 17.
17, okay. Wow, that is exciting. That's a great, I love Stephen Curtis Chapman. He has had such a great ministry, and I love their ministry, their adoption ministry that they have.
Yeah, we do too. We are have been very big fans of his, I mean, obviously for a long time.
Yeah.
But that ministry has been really blessed us obviously a lot, and we've been really involved in it. We love what they do.
Yeah, that's awesome. I know years ago I read Mary Beth Chapman's book Choosing to See, and yeah. Oh, that book is, it's amazing. It's so encouraging. It's heart-wrenching, of course, reading their testimony about their daughter, but it's such a good book, and I love that she just, you know, she's grappled with so many things, but always again goes back to Jesus, and you know how God is sovereign in all things, even through the really hard times of life. So, but we are not.
Their witness is so powerful.
Yeah. Anyway, I would love to hear your story about homeschooling, because you said it took you a little while to get on the homeschooling train. Why did you decide to homeschool?
Well, we had our kids at the time. We had our kids in a local Catholic school, which was a very well-respected school. But I think there were, as there always are, there are a lot of things going on at the time. So this is back in probably the early 90s, I guess. Yeah, it's been probably 93, 94, in that range. And my oldest was in third grade, then fourth grade, and our other kids were coming in. And we really had a lot of false sense of security of our kids being in a Catholic school, being in a religious environment, so to speak, and teaching them the morals that we wanted them to learn and carrying them over. And I think it really hit my wife, for sure hit my wife first, that we have them, even though they're not in the public schools, they're still in a very much a pagan driven society. Mm-hmm. And we did not want to leave them in that. And my wife, I still remember the first time we were actually going to pick our kids up from school, and she said, "I think we ought to homeschool." And I'm like, "Are you crazy? Kids are all weird. We don't want to homeschool." And so we talked about that for a while, and it really did seem to be the right thing to do. And so we finished out that school year, and they never went back. So my three oldest were in had been in school, but then my three youngest have never been in school, anything other than homeschool. And it's been, I think I'm always arguing with myself what the best thing is that we ever did, whether it was homeschooling or adopting our two kids. And I think since homeschooling affects all of our kids, in a way. Maybe that wins out a little bit, but man, it's really hard.
Well, I say you don't have to decide. You could just let them be a tie.
Yeah, which is okay. And it's been a great blessing to our family in such, you know, in so many ways other than just having them at home and making sure that what they're learning is what we believe, what God mm-hmm. believes, and being able to really infiltrate all of their learning with that foundation of it's God's world that they're learning about.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, you know, I think homeschooling is such an amazing way to impact the lives of our kids and of children across the globe. And adoption is the same way. And so I think really I say they can tie because you have impacted hearts of your children through both homeschooling and adoption. And for us, it is the greatest thing about homeschooling is being able to point our kids' hearts towards Jesus. And so having that impact in their lives, both through homeschooling and adoption, I think is amazing. So I love that so much. Talk about Science Shepherd and how this curriculum came to be. I want to hear about why you created it, and then talk to us a little bit about what it is and what you offer.
Sure. Well, it's kind of a longer story. I'll pare it down a little bit, but for me, it really starts when I think about why I wrote Science Shepherd. It really starts way back when I was in high school, when I was in school, learning about evolution. You know, I came out of high school believing evolution. Mm-hmm. I did not, you know, I was not raised in a family with faith.
Okay.
And so I came out believing evolution was the way it went. I went into college, you know, and of course, being in the sciences, in biology, heavily genetics, et cetera, all of that, you know, you're taught that evolution is the way it is. You're never really taught anything different. You have no reason to question it. Why mm-hmm. would you question it? Because everybody knows it's true. And by the time I got into medical school, my wife, you know, we were kind of phasing out of the Catholic-based approach and more into an evangelical Christian approach. And she was a little bit ahead of me on that. But by the time I got into medical school, things started really falling apart. And it wasn't from a faith standpoint. It was a scientific standpoint. Mm. When I would ask questions about how did this stuff happen? How did evolution happen? How do you explain evolution genetically? How did the first, organisms come to being out of nothing? And how did that happen? There's never any answer. And sometimes I'd be answered with a question of, well, are you a creationist? And I'm like, I don't even know what a creationist is. I'm just asking a scientific question in my mind. Mm-hmm. And I'm answered with philosophical blowback. That's never a good thing in science. When you are a scientific mind and a scientist, and you are trying to get scientific answers to be given a philosophical rhetoric is not a good place to be. So for me, it was great because mm-hmm. it continued to undermine the whole scientific thing. So for me, I moved obviously away from evolution. I didn't have anything for a while. It wasn't very long. But then as we got more and more into the evangelical Christian world and really understood that the Bible is not just a bunch of really interesting kind of fun stories mm-hmm. for kids, and you can put little animals on the on a boat and float them in your tub, that there actually is real stuff that mm. actually happened. And scientifically, there's nothing that argues against it. You know, as that happened, that was really a good thing, because then for me, both of those things came together at a very close time. So then as we're going through, that was certainly on our mind. Do we really want our kids learning about this in school? The Catholic schools were teaching that just like the secular schools. So like I said earlier, a lot of this stuff is bubbling around. So for me, as the kids were getting older, this is, you know, way back and now we're in the later 90s where there was good stuff out there, but, mm-hmm. you know, coming through as, through undergrad and then medical school. And then, you know, we're never done learning as physicians. I mean, I hope none of us are ever done learning, but, you know, so many trades or jobs or whatever you want to look at it, sometimes they kind of get to a certain point of learning and then they're kind of done. And I hope we would all learn, but that doesn't always happen. But for physicians, you know, we have to keep our licenses up and to keep keep board certified and stuff. We need to keep learning. So I wanted to make sure that we had something strong for our kids while they were in school. And there, at the time, like I said, there was good stuff, but I thought that maybe there was a better way to do it and not lose the message of God as being integrally intertwined into everything that is about science, but making sure then that we present a very solid, easy to understand, rapidly advancing science, but then have it all rooted in God's word. And so that was, for me, that was kind of the challenge, and has been really fun to try to keep up with it. But that's really what drove me, was as my kids were getting closer to the age where they needed a little bit more advanced science, how do we make that happen? Can I do that? Can I add something to the homeschool community that's not obviously not only benefits my kids, but also might benefit a lot of other people? And that's kind of been what's driving me since then.
Wow, that is an amazing story. I love that so much, because it's one of the things I think about often is that, and we've talked about this on the podcast, it's so incredible to me that people will look at the awesomeness of God's creation, whether it's, you know, the galaxies or the human body or, you know, animals or, you know, just whatever it is, and look at these things and say, eh, it just happened by chance. And we came from nothing. And the thing is it gives that in itself gives us no purpose in life. You know, when we tell our kids that they were made from nothing and that there's not an awesome creator who created them, like I often say on the podcast, on purpose and for a purpose, why do they think they have any value in this life? You know, you look at suicide rates and you look at depression and all of these things that our culture is dealing with right now. Well, why wouldn't it deal with those things? When people feel like they have no purpose and they were not created by an awesome creator who made them on purpose, you know, who really cares? I mean, why not end your life if you have no meaning and no purpose and you came from nothing? And yeah, because life is hard. Life is hard for everybody. And so I love that you went from that position of evolution. And just, of course, we believe in evolution. That's obviously truth because that's what your school taught as you were growing up, and then coming to this place through medical school. So let's talk about that for a second. You are a doctor. You're an actual medical doctor.
I am. Yep. Yeah. I graduated from the Medical College of Wisconsin and, let's see, 1993. Okay. I did then a 4-year residency at the medical college. My specialty is physical medicine and rehabilitation. So I got done in 97, and I've been practicing since that time. For the last probably 7 or 8 years, I had been very heavily into into kind of senior leadership at the organization where I work, still practicing. But over the last the last year, as Bill, my son that you've talked to quite a bit, we were really looking for what can we do, what's bigger than us, and he was really looking for something. What he was doing before is not what he's doing now, fortunately. So he came home about a year and a half ago. He'd been living in Florida doing some stuff and really started to help us as a family thing. My daughter helps us with this. Bill came home, and we've really started to look at this more as a mission that we're really all involved with, and everybody has something to bring to the table. And for me, what I bring to the table is hopefully the ability to write these courses in a way that makes sense, that are easy to read, and that teach the kids well. And so about 3 months ago, I stepped down from all of the senior leadership stuff I was doing, went back just what I call into the general population. I'm just seeing patients again on a fairly restricted basis, so I can write 4 or 5 days a week, and that's been really good.
Oh, that's awesome. There's no greater thing than to use the gifts that God's given you to impact his kingdom. You know, we strongly believe, and I'm certain of it, God has given every single one of us a gift and a passion and the ability to do something for his kingdom. And especially as a doctor, you know, I've known moms who have their doctorates, who are lawyers, you know, all sorts of these high level achievements. And they're moms who stay home and homeschool their kids. because they know that that's what's most important for them during this time of their life. And what a blessing that you're using what God has blessed you with and the ability to learn these things and then write about it so that as homeschool mamas and dads who don't have that knowledge can then take that. Because years ago, like you said, there were not very many options for homeschool families when it came to curriculum. Let's take a quick break. And then when we come back, I want to actually talk a little bit more specifically about Science Shepherd and what your curriculum has to offer.
Learning to write well in order to effectively communicate ideas can be a challenge for many students. Equipping teachers and teaching parents with methods and materials which will aid them in training their students to become confident and competent communicators and thinkers is key. The Institute for Excellence in Writing is an organization dedicated to training, mentoring, and providing a model for teachers in a clear, sequential, and effective method of teaching writing that reinforces history, science, literature, and other content areas.
Our methodology begins with dictated content. So rather than saying to a child, here, think of something and learn to write, we actually give them the content. And through our 9 units, gradually wean them from dictated content to that blank page.
Through the process of learning to write well, students learn how to think clearly and to express themselves eloquently and persuasively. For more information or to order the program, visit IEW.com.
Talk to us about your actual curriculum and what the different things are that you offer, and maybe kind of take us a little bit through some of the textbooks that you have.
Sure. I'll start from our younger grades. And this is one thing I guess the main thing I want to emphasize about our curriculum is we are very actively growing. I am writing a lot of stuff right now. I plan for example, for the 1920 school year, we should have 3 new courses online for that. So our first course, our course for the youngest students is called Introductory Science. And it's actually a video-based course, so I don't have a textbook for that. I thought that for grade school kids, that video would be far more engaging. We have it's me teaching basically short videos, 2 to 4 or 5, maybe 5 minutes every single day. There's a lot of other pictures, other video, etc., that goes along with just me talking, so you're just not looking at my face for the whole time. And then there's a workbook that goes along with that. And we have 2 different levels of workbook. We have one for younger students and one for older students. So that was our way to try to begin the process of getting our younger kids involved. Because prior to that, we didn't have anything for kids younger than 12 or 13. And then our next course that we have, kind of time-wise, although you can do it whenever, it's about an 8-week course called Unearthing the Bible. And this was done with in conjunction with one of the pastors from our church who basically talks about Old Testament events and then goes over the archaeological finds that support all the Old Testament stuff. And it's really cool. It's cool stuff. We've got, again, audio and video. It's a video-based course with a workbook for the kids to work through that. That lasts about 8 weeks. And then what I really had spent the most time on and have really focused on the last couple of years has been our high school biology text, which is pretty beefy. I mean, that was my intent, was to write something that was very advanced, really more of an advanced placement sort of thing, and be, again, very easy to understand and be very straightforward for the kids to be able to progress quickly through it. It like I said, it's beefy, but most of the kids do just fine. We also have an integrated lab, and we have video-based stuff for the lab too, which is basically me doing all the labs in our kitchen.
Oh, wow.
Where I figured most of the kids were going to do it so they would be able to see, well, you can do it. You don't need a fancy lab environment. You can do it there. You get the results. And I go through them with them step by step. What you do, this is how you do it. I do all the dissection labs and walk them through it. So that was kind of the other part of biology was my whole thing was not that I don't want the parents involved, but so many parents don't know science and it kind of scares them.
Yep.
I wanted them to feel very comfortable. Yeah, I wanted them to feel very comfortable that if here son, here, daughter, mm-hmm. here's Science Shepherd biology, just do your thing. And the syllabus is all written out for them, and all they have to do is follow it. And when the year is done, they're finished. And then also by the summer, I should have a high school. I'm not sure what I'm going to call it yet. Maybe I'll just call it this because it's very descriptive. But a high school biology for the non-science student.
Oh yeah, I love that title. I think you should stick with it.
Maybe I should.
It is very descriptive.
Yeah, you know, I'm a scientist at heart. People don't really realize that. That's physicians are. We're trained as scientists to look at data objectively, review it, interpret it, and then put it into practice. And so I want to teach kids how to think. I don't want to teach them what to think. I want to teach them how to think about scientific data and how, when it goes in your brain, how do you process it and munch it and spit it out in something that's coherent? So they're just not walking around like all these zombies that believe in evolution and don't have any idea why. I mean, I didn't know why I believed in evolution. So that's a very strong point of my stuff, is to make sure I'm walking the kids through it. They don't even know it, I don't think, but walking them through how to assess data, how to integrate it, how to think, and then how to make logical conclusions based on that. That's been a really huge piece for me.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Cause I know, I've talked to your son, Bill, and he's talked about how you're really passionate about the fact that the Bible and science are completely compatible. And so bringing that into your curriculum and helping to teach that to the kids and helping them to internalize that is, I think, so important with science. You know, when I was in high school, I don't remember pretty much anything from any science class I took. I don't even know how I passed them. I mean, I learned what I needed to learn for the test, just barely to pass the test, and then took the test, checked some boxes, and I was done and didn't need that information any longer. Thankfully, actually, I went to a Christian school for most of my childhood. You were talking about Catholic school, and I went to a Catholic school my freshman year in high school. And I remember my science teacher, he was terrible. And I remember him saying, yeah, well, you know, the Bible is just like you said, a bunch of stories, and, you know, Noah and the Ark, that didn't actually happen. It's just a story. And how devastating, because what a lost opportunity he had. But I love that you make science real and bring the Bible into it, because that's the most important thing. And we tell our girls that, you know, they need to learn the basics of science. Now, I don't know if either of them will become scientists. Possibly my youngest one, she really is interested in chemistry right now. She's only 8, but she watches DIY Sci. I don't know if you've seen those videos on YouTube, and I think they're on Amazon and stuff too, but she loves to watch those. And so she was so excited because we found dry ice the other day. And she's like, oh, Mom, the things we could do with dry ice. And but it's so cool that people like yourself who are taking that knowledge, coupling it with the Bible, and giving us the opportunity to teach it to our kids, because I couldn't do this on my own. I mean, I can read a textbook to my kids, but to just read it to them and not have any idea what it is that I'm teaching to them seems kind of pointless. I don't want to just get through the textbook. I want them to actually understand God's creation through science. And so I think science is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, way for our kids to understand God's character and who he really is, because he is the creator. And again, that goes back to he created them on purpose and for a purpose. So their own bodies are a reflection of God's goodness in his amazing creation. So so I love that. I know for a homeschool mom like myself, I love to actually see things and touch them and get kind of a firsthand look at the different curriculum that I'm choosing for my kids.
People definitely like that. We've been really pretty blessed by Rainbow Resources. It's been really good to us. And they go to every single convention that's out there. And
they have a massive booth.
Yeah. And usually our stuff is there. So,
okay.
So if people ask us, we usually, at least if we're not going to be there, we direct them to the Rainbow Resource booth, because they usually have our are showing our stuff.
Okay. Oh, that's good to know. Yes. Rainbow Resource always has an amazing presence at every homeschool convention I've ever been to. Yeah. So that is good to know. We can direct people to them as well. We will link back to everything Science Shepherd in our show notes. Where can people find you? Is it ScienceShepherd.com, right? It's your website?
Yep. Science Shepherd, and it's S-H-E-P-H-E-R-D.
Okay.
There's a lot of variant spellings of Shepherd, but yeah.
All right. Awesome. We'll put those in the notes, and thank you again for your support of Schoolhouse Rocked and what we're doing here, and we fully support you guys. I love what you're doing, and I'm excited that we get to introduce our listeners who have not yet heard of Science Shepherd to be able to go and check you guys out.
Yeah. So. Thank you very much. It was great to be here.
I hope this episode of the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast has been an encouragement to you. For great homeschooling videos and more, including uncut interviews with the cast of Schoolhouse Rocked, check out members.schoolhouserocked.com and use the coupon code PODCAST10 to save 10% on any paid Backstage Pass membership. If you loved this episode, please take a minute to leave a review for the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast on iTunes. God bless.